I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Gene Phelps.
I'm Blake Morgan, and this is Prep Rally,
a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a special early edition of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Normally coming to you every Wednesday, we're recording this one on Tuesday because the state basketball tournament starts on Wednesday early, 9 o'clock. Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan will be there in Jackson covering that. So we're having to do this again a day early. I'm Brad Locke, your host. Fellas, how's it going?
Ready going well. It. I guess if we normally do it on Wednesday, we're abnormally doing it on Tuesday.
I don't know if
okay.
I don't know if anything about any of us is normal per se, but we'll go with that. So y'all are heading to Jackson today, and then probably pretty soon after we're done in here, I'm guessing. And then we have a slew of games, and we'll talk. And that's all we're going to pretty much spend this episode on is previewing the state tournament. Before we move on, I do want to remind you, you can find us a variety of ways, of course, in iTunes, any of your podcast apps. Also, you can stream online at preprally.djournal.com. Just hit the subscribe button, though, if you're using one of the apps, and you'll get notified every time a new episode drops. Also, follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps, and be sure, especially over the next couple of weeks with the state tournament going on, follow that account. Also follow Gene at Gene Phelps and Blake at Blake Morgan DJ to get updates on the state tournament games. Because, again, we have a lot of teams. So let's get started looking at the state tournament quarterfinals. A little preview here. 22 teams, guys. 10 boys, 12 girls. And I'm trying to remember, under the old format, Gene, if in a good year Northeast Mississippi would send – I don't know, a dozen to 15 teams down there. But that's when they had, I think, just the top three.
Right. I mean, we've had as many as like 19, maybe, back when under the old format. And that was a lot.
Yeah, it was.
Now you've got more because more teams are getting to go. So really, we could have had some other. We had a lot of teams lose in the second round. But,
Boy,
all these slots are filled. I don't know where else we could put teams from our area.
Yeah, we've got teams in every class, boys and girls, right now. Let's just run through the schedule just real quick of our teams, teams in Northeast Mississippi, and when they play. Again, it starts Wednesday with boys. We're going to have in 4A, Shannon is playing. Ripley is also playing. And we got three teams in 1A that are playing, Wheeler, Ashland, and Holka. So it's just boys at Jackson State on a Wednesday. And by the way, all the boys this round are playing at Jackson State. All the girls' games are at the Mississippi Coliseum, a.k.a. the Big House.
And one thing I wanted to note in a story the other day, I don't know if people saw it or not, your boys are starting a day early because they've got to have two half-day sessions at Jackson State because Jackson State has a game Thursday night and Saturday night. So two half-days, which makes the schedule start on Wednesday for the boys. Blake and I'll be there, and Blake's writing, I believe, something on the Wheeler boys tomorrow. And Blake, when's the last time they were down there?
1994. I was 2 months old.
How about that? He was 2 months old. It was so long ago. He was 2 months old, I covered it, and I can't remember.
I was about to graduate high school. So thanks for making us feel extra old, Blake. It's been a while for Wheeler. And then the girls get going Thursday. Teams we have down there in 4A is Ripley, also Lafayette and Amory in 4A, and a couple of 1A teams that will be in action that day are Pine Grove and Ashland. And we'll have some boys teams playing Thursday as well, Baldwin and Okolona, both in 2A. It would be fun to see those two meet down the line, perhaps, in this tournament.
Yes, that would be. Those are two really good teams from our area, too. That Okolona bunch is really good. It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't make it all the way.
Yeah, exactly.
But wouldn't mind seeing old Baldwin, the Bearcats, getting there and winning another one, too. So, I mean, we feel pretty good in that classification that the gold ball could be coming home.
Certainly. Friday, girls action in 5A. We've got West Point down there. And 2A, reigning champ Ingemar will play, as will East Webster. And then on the boys' side, Oxford will take on Wayne County in 5A. I believe Wayne County's knocked them out each of the last 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this is a good opportunity for people in the Jackson area to see Jarkel Joyner play.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he's going to get to perform on that stage. I'd like to see him win and let him play in the Coliseum when the crowds get even bigger the next week. But maybe listening to this online, you're in for a treat. Go see that guy if you live in the Jackson area. He's worth the price of admission.
Certainly. He can light it up. And then also on Friday in 3A, you've got Holly Springs boys are playing. And then Saturday, you got some of the big schools. You got 6A, then you got 3A. In girls, Tupelo will be in action, as will Starkville. In 3A, Newsite and Boonville. Boonville, the reigning 3A champ in girls. Well, they'll be on the court as well, and then Tupelo's boys will play that day. So that's just that's what it looks like for our area teams. You don't have any area on area matchups in this round. You could see that certainly down the line. But again, 22 teams, 12 girls and 10 boys. Before we look ahead at some of these teams and games, let's do a quick rewind from last week. The first couple of rounds, what used to be known as the North Half. And just want to cherry pick a few games. First, let's talk about Tupelo's boys. Okay, Starkville had defeated them twice already this season. Two of Tupelo's four losses came at the hands of Starkville back earlier in the season. Tupelo turns the tables and beats a bigger Starkville team, guys, and kind of. Yeah,
I'm interested to see. I would like to have seen a replay of that because I didn't cover that one.
Right.
I kept looking at the score and going, goodness gracious, are they holding the ball or what are they doing there?
Yeah, it was a low-scoring game. 38-33 was the final. And, Tupelo, again, as we talked about, they don't have one guy that'll light you up, but they have several guys that can get it done. And so they just kind of it looks like they kind of set the tone and played the game they wanted it the way they wanted it played. Just looking at the story, David Wheeler covered that game. There were a lot of cuts, picks, and elbows on the boards, as he wrote. And again, they don't have anybody that just lights it up. But Colin Hamilton had 11; he was the leading scorer. Tygel Hereford had 10. I mean, that's a typical Tupelo scorebook right there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and that's the way it's been all season.
Yeah, exactly. Looking at two-way, we just mentioned Ingomar, and I thought this might be a really good matchup. Okolona. Okolona played Ingomar and won to advance to the quarterfinals there in 2A boys. The two of the better 2A teams, but Okolona kind of I wouldn't say dominated, but because it was a close game after three quarters, but they pulled away in the fourth and ended up winning by 14 points.
Right.
And as good as Ingomar is, and Kelton Hall can certainly put up the points. Okolona 28-1. They've got Ladarius Spears. They've got some. Who's the kid that can hit all the threes? They got Cam Smith, and some other guys that are really good, like Jacurius Stanfield. So this is a team that's just kind of been steadily rolling along all season.
Yeah, I mean, they're 28-0. They've won 28 games in a row now. Their only loss was to open the year against Tupelo. And
right.
I think Okolona might beat them if they played right now. That's how well they're rolling.
Yeah.
And Gene mentioned it earlier in the podcast that he wouldn't be surprised if they ended up going all the way. It absolutely seems that way. Because, Spears is just a monster down low that it's hard to handle. And now with Cam Smith, who's like a 6'5 kid that is a assassin from deep, they have great in and out balance. They're going to be hard to stop for any 2A team.
And they'll play Bay Springs on Thursday at Jackson State. That's the 1:30 game. I don't know what Bay Springs has, but it seems like they're down in Jackson on a pretty regular basis, Gene. So people get a chance to see Okolona, and I'm sure they'll move on to the next round.
The record I found on Max Preps for Bay Springs was 15-8. I know they played more games than that. Just one of those Max Preps delinquents there. I'm sure they're probably more like 21-8 or 20-8 or something like that.
Yeah, well, Okolona, we expect them to go far. Ripley's girls, Blake, I believe, who was that game? Blake?
That was me.
That was you, Blake. Ripley beat Pontotoc on the road, no less.
Yep.
And Pontotoc's always tough to beat.
Yeah, Pontotoc always tough to beat. They played early in the year at Ripley, and Pontotoc won by 3.
Yeah.
This one was at Pontotoc, and it was another close one, another grinded out. Ripley, they just made the plays at the end. And they did a terrific job of taking Jones out of the game.
Jatija, how do you say that?
Jatija Jones out of the game. In a way that I've covered the two or Pontotoc girls a few times this year. Just no one has been able to do. They just really bracketed her. They had a they would front her in the post and then also have a girl behind. So it just completely forced Pontotoc to look elsewhere with the ball. And, without Jones being kind of the revving the engine for the offense, they just really stalled.
Yeah, she had only 4 points. The final was 41-37, another low-scoring game there. A really good defensive effort by Ripley. Ripley has a 17-11 record. I don't know who all they've played. Some people might consider that a mild upset, certainly beating Pontotoc at Pontotoc.
Now, Ripley's coach did say, we have 11 losses, but there are 11 really good losses. He said, we did not lose to any bad teams.
Sure.
He went out of his way to mention that the record is maybe mildly deceiving.
I gotcha. So Ripley's girls will take on South Pike. Again, that's a Thursday at 4 p.m. in the 4A quarterfinals. And then let's also, we mentioned them earlier, Baldwin's boys rolling into the 2A quarterfinals, this team with Calvin Harris and Felix Hayes. I mean, they're just tough to deal with. And the first-year coach, Grant Goolsby, he seems to have done a really good job with that group.
Yeah, no, he really has. And they, you talk with any of the players and they talk about just how they're a family, right? And I've talked with Goolsby a lot this year, and he says that that's one of the things he's trying to come in and preach is that they're a family and they have to, be for one of each other. And that's how they are. And, I mean, that Calhoun City game was a great one. Probably the best game that I've seen all year.
Yeah, 74-72, the final.
Yeah, it was a wild ending. It was tied 72-72. And LaDavious Drain missed a shot that would have put Calhoun City up with about 14 seconds left. Felix Hayes gets the rebound, brings the ball down the court. Everyone kind of looks at Goolsby to call a timeout, set up a play. And, Goolsby, I talked to him after the game. He said, once I saw Hayes had the ball, I was just going to let him play it out. Just let your players make a play. Hayes drove towards the basket, missed the shot, but got his own rebound, laid it up. With 3 seconds left, Darren Coffey, Calhoun City's coach, immediately calls a timeout. But Baldwin had rushed the floor thinking that that was a game winner. So they had rushed the floor thinking the game was over. The refs were, blowing the whistles trying to get everyone off. So it was a wild ending. They finally get everyone off the court. And then Calhoun City throws in the ball. Felix Hayes comes up with the steal to seal the victory.
Wow. Not Felix Hayes.
Yeah,
yeah. Players make plays.
Yeah, right. The wide receiver picked off the pass in the middle of the field.
Of course he did.
That?
Felix Hayes finished with 26 points in that game. You hear a lot about him and Harris, but C.J. McGaugh had a big game too, 20 points, and really handles the ball well, doesn't he?
Yeah, point guard, I feel bad because he kind of gets pushed aside, especially in my stories. You only get 325 words. It's hard to include everything, especially when someone like Felix Hayes and Calvin Harris do a lot for them to win. But, I mean, Magaha, it just really, I talked with Goolsby about it. He's just kind of the heartbeat of the team. He just keeps them going in the same way any really good point guard
and
does.
And it helps when he can score.
Yeah,
even though
absolutely.
He's a point guard. Yeah, and I think when Magaha scores,
Baldwin
wins.
an extra element. Absolutely. It, he's not going to light it up from outside. He never takes, an outside shot. He's just really good. It's on runners, and he just makes the plays and puts guys in position to win.
And the great Calhoun City player, LaDavious Drain, had 31 points in the losing efforts. So again, 74-72, the final. Baldwin moves on. And let's look ahead a little bit. Again, we've got 22 teams. We can't look at them all, but we'll look at a few key teams, some favorites to win it all, guys. We're going to look at some teams we think have a chance to bring home the gold ball. We've already mentioned Oklahoma. I think we covered them as a favorite. I think first we need to start with the defending champs that are back. We've got three area teams that won it last year that are back in Jackson to try to defend their titles. To start with Boonville's girls. I got pretty much everybody back from last year, Gene. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
No, it's not. And that division is loaded. That classification, excuse me. That the division was loaded with talent this year too. 1-3A, but this classification is going to be a tough one to get through. But, you know, Boonville's got, you know, you've got a Dallas Young back. I know she's been slowed this year by after knee surgery. You've got Shamia Williams has come back after knee surgery and is playing pretty well. You got Ellie Nash, who played really well earlier in the season. And Ellie gets in foul trouble sometimes, but when she's on and not in foul trouble, she can grab you 20 points, score 20 points, grab 10 rebounds. And he's bringing her, Michael Smith, the coach, bringing her in off the bench right now. That's the kind of depth he's got. You always go with the defending champion. You make them the favorite until they lose. But just looking at that division, you know, a lot of people thought, well, Boonville's tough test will be they've got to play Tylertown. Well, Tylertown got beat by Forest, and that's the team Boonville plays, and Forest is 26-4.
Yeah.
And so if you're good enough to beat Tylertown, you're probably good enough to beat Boonville. And then if Boonville gets by them, you've got Amanda Elsie at 27-1, or Port Gibson, which has a lot of tradition in girls basketball, at 19-8. Then you look at Neusite, 23-9. We'll talk about them a little bit later. They're playing Franklin County, a good team, 22-4. And then you got Choctaw Central.
They're there pretty much every
Velma
year.
Velma Jackson. Yeah. Those two teams are playing each other, which should be a whale of a game.
Yeah.
So Boonville, the favorite.
But there's three or four other teams that could easily come away with this, don't you think?
Right. I don't think they're a lock.
Including Neusite, which beat Boonville. In the Division I-3 tournament championship.
Yeah, it says a lot.
And we'll start, again, we're going to talk about Neusite again in a few minutes. Another reigning champion, sticking with the girls, Ingemar in 2A. Of course, they've been without Mallory Russell the last few weeks after she tore her ACL. Was it against Choctaw Central?
It was
Central?
Against Choctaw Central. It was. She tried to take a girl out on a layup attempt. You know, it's just one of those things you react as a player.
Yeah.
And most of the time, all you're going to do is foul, and they either make the shot and get a free throw or something. And both players went flying. The girl from Choctaw Central hit the mat. She went down. They thought she had a neck injury, and Mallory went down and knew what happened it happened.
They haven't missed a beat without her, really, have they?
No, they've had to change things. And, of course, you know, Trent Adair's a great coach. He's proven that. He's got a proven track record, and he's been experimenting with a lot of things. He's essentially got five guards or four guards and a forward, and they're just he told me last week, Garabeth South, who's a point guard slash guard, is going to have to be the person that picks it up. He said, you know, she's going to have to create havoc on defense. She's going to have to score on offense for us to win. And she scored 24 the night I was there, which was probably a season high.
Yeah.
But Garabeth certainly has the talent. She's just a sophomore, but she's very talented. And that lineup's talented, and they've been there.
Yeah.
So he's got everybody back from that championship team. So
and the Ingemar will play Puckett 9 a.m. Friday. Those early games have to be pretty tough, Gene. I mean, because I think that the risk there for a team like Ingemar is you come out a little bit sluggish at that early hour. That can really cost you.
And again, you know, this everybody's good when you get to this point in state tournament. You
exactly.
got another in this bracket. You got a Leland team that's 26-4. You pop over and you look at East Webster down there at 24-7. You know, they're just, 3 years removed from winning a state championship.
They're good all the time.
Coahoma County, 30-1. Pigahatchee, 27-5. So it's not going to be easy for Ingemar to repeat either.
No, it will not be. And then 1A boys, of course, you got Ashland trying to defend – Ashland's boys trying to defend its title. They got DeAnthony Tipler back this year, of course, and he knows how to light it up. His uncle, Raleigh Tipler, is the coach. So you got the Tipplers running the show there in Ashland. They take on West Lowndes on Wednesday.
Yeah, they're quite a good team. I've seen them a few times this year. Tipler, I mean, likely be one of the best players stepping onto the court every time. And when you have the best player, usually by head and shoulders above everyone else, that puts you in good position to win. And, of course, Tipler just got an offer from Colorado State the other day. And so, I mean, he's the real deal. And, yeah, he can certainly light it up, like you said.
And he has another year. As does Madarius Hobson from Hulka. I mean, we got some great players coming back next year.
Yeah, and 1A. So, I mean, the 1A boys down there in Jackson should be really fun between Ashland and you mentioned Hobson and Hulka. In fact, you had a story today, Blake, on the Wildcats, and Hobson's just a junior. He can, and we'll talk more about him in a minute. He knows how to light it up. And then Wheeler, as you mentioned, making their first trip since Blake was in diapers.
Blake and I have both seen those guys. Mitch Howell is the coach.
Yep.
Rick Howell is his dad, coaching at New Site now. And what a year they had.
Yeah, they
got beat by Holly Springs the other night. Could have beaten Holly Springs. That Holly Springs team is loaded with talent, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But this Wheeler team has got 5 starters in double figures.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen 5 players play together they play.
Very Tupelo-like, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, except they don't have the substitution. Those guys are in there most of the game.
Right.
That's what I talked to Hal about yesterday was, because he kept talking about how, he's like, we just run a run. Every time we touch the ball, we want to get out and run. And I was like, well, Coach, you're 1A. I mean, you can't have too much depth, right?
And they do have a player by the name of Cole Sweeney, who's kind of like a guard. And his father, Todd Sweeney, was on some of those great Wheeler teams back when Wheeler was relevant in state basketball. And maybe they're on their way to being relevant again.
Certainly.
They can certainly take a big step.
Only one senior
Jackson
on the roster.
Yeah. Okay, wow, yeah.
A lot of things coming from Wheeler.
Mm-hmm. And what I love about basketball around here is that, even these small schools in 1A, they'll probably have a pretty good fan presence in Jackson, especially if they make it to the next round. It's hard to say during this round how it'll look, but I mean, if you got Wheeler, I'm sure the fans are excited about being back for the first time in 2+ decades. They'll probably turn out, and Hulka has a pretty dedicated following, and of course Ashland trying to defend its title. So it's really makes for a really good atmosphere.
It is. A lot of people are. I've had a few coaches and observers tell me that maybe they'd like for it to go back to the tournaments, the North Half tournaments again. But of course, the entire thought process was for the coaches when they presented this to the high school activities was to get more teams to Jackson. And to be able to do that, they had to do it this way.
Yeah.
They make it like an NCAA tournament, so you obliterate the North and South halves. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know about Blake's game, but I went to New Site Boys and Holly Springs Boys, and the gym was packed, and it was rocking.
Yeah,
it was really
More
exciting than anything we'll see in Jackson as far as atmosphere, because you got 2,500, 3,000 people in a 8,000-9,000 seat arena.
Yeah,
it's just not the same. A packed gym at New Site, it was fun. Yeah. I remember last year going to a packed gym at Potts Camp for a division tournament, and they had to ask people to please leave after their team got through playing because people are outside. This is basketball country up here, and people will turn out at a lot of the small schools, and it won't be – the excitement up here won't match. It's big going to the state tournament, but the excitement's not there, I don't think.
Right. So that's just a quick look at some of the teams that we expect to do well down there. And, Tupelo's boys and girls, let's talk about them just real quick. How deep do we think they can go?
Well, from a girls' standpoint, and I'll let Blake talk about the boys, but I think the Tupelo girls have a shot, Of course, now, if they make it all the way through their bracket, they're probably going to meet Olive Branch.
Yeah.
And that's they're coached by Jason Thompson, formerly of H.W. Byers.
He won. How many titles at Byers? Six?
I think five.
Five or six.
Five
a
or
bunch.
Six, yeah. He's got a bunch. He knows, because I ask him. I think it's five. Jason's a great coach. He's a great man, a great person. I saw them play Boonville over at the Tangle on the Trail, was it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he showed no mercy. And I don't know if Boonville knew what hit him.
Yeah.
And they didn't let up. And he's very talented. I'll be very surprised if Olive Branch didn't win 6-8 girls. But Tupelo girls, they're pretty good too.
We'll see. They got some players. And they'll play Biloxi on Saturday. The boys take on Meridian also on Saturday, Blake.
Yeah, 27-2 Meridian. I mean, Tupelo, they could certainly go all the way. I mean, I would say that they upset Starkville. Starkville is probably a more talented team.
Sure.
But Tupelo, they're hard to defend. We've talked about it all year. When they're playing good defense and when they get a couple of different guys in double figures. I mean, they can beat anyone in the state.
Yeah, they seem to be greater than the sum of their parts, absolutely, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
Certainly. So you got all these games, guys. Just real quick, I know we're running long, but you both are going down there, and you have games every day, multiple games most days, if not every day.
Every day.
So how are y'all splitting this up? Hey, you can be able to cover it all without any extra help?
We're going to share the duties tomorrow because it's all boys. Then I'll take over the girls' portion of the tournament, and he'll stay at Jackson State and do the boys, and then we're going to help each other out when we have lulls, you know?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I did want to mention one thing.
Oh, yeah.
Biloxi, the team is playing Tupelo, coached by Devin Hill. Mm-hmm. Listeners up here, readers up here, remember he coached at Etowah AHS and directed them to a state championship about 3 years ago, 4A state championship. Beat undefeated, probably one of the top teams in the state, Bay High.
Yeah, yeah.
So Devin Hill and the Biloxi.
Keep an eye on him. All right, let's wrap things up real quick with Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, recognizing a male and female athlete for their accomplishments in their sport. Let's start with the female athlete, Gene.
Yeah, ladies first. And we had a lot of great performances, you know, by kids every week. It's hard to pick just single one person out. You know, it's big for Newsite. I wrote about that this morning. You know, in 2009, they went for the first time at the girls' state tournament. They have some of the biggest crowds. I'm sure Don Hinton and Clinton was very excited to see Newsite in the tournament. Or at least coming to Jackson. Chloe Hammock, sophomore guard, hit 4 3-pointers and scored 18 points. They beat Charleston to qualify to go back down to Jackson. So
Chloe Hammock, female athlete of the week. Male, who we got? We talked about him already, Blake.
Darius Hobson from Holka. We haven't talked about him a ton on the podcast, but like Gene said earlier, I mean, he is a heck of a player.
Yes.
Against Biggersville in the second round, had 49 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Only shot the ball 23 times, so to score 49 points is pretty impressive.
Must have gotten to the line a few times,
20
too.
Of 21 from the free throw line.
Wow.
So, yeah, very efficient basketball player and helped his team win 106-95.
I wish I could have been in the gym for that one.
Yeah, and he's Robert Woodard of Columbus's cousin.
Cousin, yes, that's right. Another good player there. 106-95 over Biggersville in the last round. So Chloe Hammock and Madarius Hobson, your Athletes of the Week. That does it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for joining us a day early. And be sure to follow the guys throughout the next couple of weeks for state basketball tournament coverage in the Daily Journal and, of course, at djournal.com. A variety of ways to access this show. You can catch it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com or on Twitter at DJournalPrep. So that's it. The guys will be in Jackson, I guess, next Wednesday, so we'll figure out a way to make this podcast happen nonetheless. So guys, go have fun down there, but not too much fun.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see y'all next week.